You have an agenda, it's been circulated, I have a couple of additions. We decided some while ago, a year or two ago, I think, even special council meetings, that if members of the public want to ask questions, we include that on the agenda. And the second, and that would come in after changes and approval. The other was 3.2, which is Best Western Lookout. Are there any other additions or deletions, any changes in the agenda? If not, I ask for a motion to approve it as amended. Councilor Waterman, Councilor Inglis, seconding, all in favor, it's unanimous, thank you. Are there any questions or whatever from members of the public?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Dan Robertson, College Street, Liverpool. Just a couple of comments here. This proposal here and the proposed funding, I guess that would all depend on the approval of the funding if it goes in that particular order. The $750,000 broken down with where the money's coming from. That's not been approved at this point in time as far as any funding for this.
That's right. The motions will be asked, will be giving staff approval to make the application.
Right. One further question. Trestle Trail Bridge there, as I see in this proposal here, will be a multi-use. It would be able, if this goes through, it would be able to be used by ATVs or as.
That's the proposal.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Bagley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. At past council meetings, the price of the fix for the Trestle Trail Bridge was estimated to be upwards of $1 million. And I think at that time, the figure was an unknown until the phase two study was completed. I see in this report there's a $750,000 figure, and I'm wondering how the region arrived at $750,000 at this point.
It will be explained during the presentation.
Appreciate that, thank you.
In fairness, the $1 million figure was that kind of a figure. We knew that the engineering study was $140,000 plus HST, and that to take it up to around 160 some, and we really didn't have a known number. But it was just an estimate, if you will. Are there any other questions or what have you from the public? If not, we'll move into the agenda. Richard, do you want to take this? We need a motion. Why don't we get the councillors who have on either end of the property to make the motions? Councillor Inglis, Councillor Fancy.
Sure thing. I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve in principle the Queens County Shared Use Trail Feasibility and Master Plan as contained in Attachment 1 of this report and direct staff to prepare funding applications for the remedy of the Trestle Trail Bridge as outlined in the discussion section of this report.
Seconded by Councilor Fancy. Okay, Richard, do you want to?
Sure. Morning, Council. So, one of the most challenging files that I've walked into since I started here is the Trestle Trail Bridge. In fact, we discussed it while I was going through the competition phase. I think the Council was asking if I had any solutions for them at that point. I didn't. But either way, so by way of a bit of a history on the bridge, just for clarity, in 1996, the Region of Queens became owners of a former CN rail bridge. I'm not sure of the exact age, but my understanding is about a 100-year-old structure. In 1999, the bridge was converted into a pedestrian bridge, and we've had a few engineering studies going back to 99 that, you know, in early days, saw some deterioration, advising us to monitor it. Most recently, in 2014, the engineering study found severe deterioration on the north wall, Pier 1, Pier 4, and the south abutment. and, you know, the photos show severe deterioration that demonstrates a clear safety risk. You know, shows that peers are disintegrating in front of us. You know, normally, you know, you can see that they can use a paddle to measure the amount of deterioration on this pier. North Wall abutment, you know, this looks okay, but, you know, below the water line, it's quite crumbled, crumbled away structurally. As well, in addition to the visual inspection, there was some materials analysis done to inform the engineering recommendation, which ultimately was that pedestrians and all types of vehicles must be immediately prevented from using the bridge until further detailed studies and analysis have been completed after any resulting recommendations have been addressed. So, at the time when this came in February 2015, the first direction from council was to postpone further action on the study. And then subsequently to that, council, several councilors initiated a public meeting to have discussion on options with regards to the trail. We came back in October for direction. Ultimately, we have two long-term choices, either to repair the bridge or at some point we'll have to remove the bridge. Something will have to be done at some point. In October, the council direction was to proceed with the exploration of costs associated with the repair, deconstruction of the Trestle Trail Bridge, and directed us to investigate financial assistance. So since that time, staff have been and council have been looking at any available possible grants or funding options and talking to different agencies, looking at possible ways to fund this project. So one option that has come up is to reconsider the policy direction regarding shared use trails. Most specifically, we know that the off-highway vehicle fund in Nova Scotia would be interested in funding this project. We've had some preliminary discussions with ECOA as this being a shared use trail. The $750,000 figure, which is very preliminary, was based just to start conversation. And where the number came from that I used, and that number could change dramatically, more or less, subject to the engineering analysis, was based on me simply taking the costs of the what looks comparable French River Bridge project in Tatamagouche that cost $100,000 per pier to fix. They had three, we had five, so that's $500,000, plus I added on funding for the engineering study and analysis. So that figure is really just for the sake of conversation as we were approaching different funding agencies for how we might want to assemble funding to give them some sort of idea. So there are benefits to shared use trails. Primary one in talking about is the connectivity that a shared use trail and the plan that the that was examined a couple of years ago would provide connectivity between Lunenburg and Shelburne counties. Currently, ATVs are unable to make this trip because the distance between fuel stations is too far. So the new connectivity would provide direct and indirect tourism dollars, and I've provided in the report a report on direct spending that would overview the potential economic impact to the region. As well, environmentally, the trail will provide an active transportation solution, a recreational amenity, and increased access to the natural environment. And socially, the trail provides connectivity for residents, particularly from the Milton Main Street area to the center where grocery stores are located. So providing policy direction to be a shared use trail provides further funding options for the community and council. Access to the off-highway vehicle funding and being able to approach together COA for their infrastructure funding. So what approval in principle means, which is what we're seeking, is with the long-term implementation of a shared use trail, there are multiple stakeholders, multiple landholders and landowners, and different roles and responsibilities. The purpose of approval in principle is to give staff the overarching strategic direction to work with those stakeholders. And as such, with approval in principle, the direction with approval in principle established direction from council, we'd be able to work with the stakeholders, such as the Queens Rails to Trails Association, to develop more detailed implementation plans to achieve the connectivity. So as such, the recommendation before you is that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve in principle the Queens County Shared Use Trail Feasibility and Master Plan as contained in attachment one of this report, and secondly, to direct staff to prepare funding applications for the remedy of the Trestle Trail Bridge as outlined in the discussion section of this report.
Thank you. Discussion. Yes, Captain Mandel.
I like the approved and principal aspect. The trail from S, I think it was Aesthetics, wasn't it?
Aesthetics.
I don't know how that's pronounced. That was done in 2012. I know they've been working on some changes, the hornet nests through Somerville and that sort of stuff. But it is an approval in principle, understanding that, you know, that it's just the principal part that we agree with. The fact that we should have a trail through Queens that connects Queens to Shelburne. I mean, I think Lindbergh, Shelburne, everyone understands the economic value of that. And I've heard some people talk about, oh, well, there's going to be people roaring around in four-wheelers. And I said, you know what? The people that roar around in four-wheelers are local. And there's ways to stop that because we have enforcement. And when there's local people roaring around, if there are, then that's an easy thing to monitor in police. I've been on many trails with shared use, and I must say people driving those off-road vehicles are very conscious of speed limits because they all carry registrations in order to travel on them. They pay to upkeep them, and I believe that this will be a positive thing for Queens. And if we can find a way to get that trestle trail open, I know the whole idea of what they do when they get off the other end and where they go is something we need to do. But I think it's a good thing. So I'm going to support this motion as it is.
Councilor McLeod.
In the past, we've had presentations by the Rails to Trails Association and the ATV Association, which are two different entities, I understand.
Yes.
And there was discussion about connectivity, how they would connect from the existing trail, which I think now visibly you can see on Highway 3 near Transcotia, and they come through there. So how is it connected now? Because we've done work, if they were going to use portion of the underneath the existing Highway number 3 overpass or 103 overpass, how are they going to connect to this link? And if they do connect, is that in our funding or is our funding just specifically for the Trestle Trail Bridge?
Right, so, and that goes back into the details of implementation. We've not worked deeply with the two organizations. We've had very preliminary discussions because we haven't had council direction on this and it'd be a major policy item. There are options to consider with that. There are complexities to the different options. And that would be the that would be something that, you know, would be ultimately their responsibility to work with. We'd be a major stakeholder and involved with that. Really the key though is without fixing the Trestle Trail Bridge, there's no connectivity. They're back to the drawing board. It's really the crucial link for their plan. So that's really the apex to the entire connectivity between
Lunenburg and Jones. I can help perhaps.
Sure.
My understanding is that their intention to travel the shoulder of the 103.
Yes.
until you come to Route 8, and then come down the ramp and cross Route 8, and then somehow, and I'm not sure the detail, get from the shoulder of Route 8 to the Trestle Trail.
So the applications, if you go through, if this is approved and then you go forward with the applications for funding or the investigation as to what funding, I know you know the funding is there, would there actually be actual applications made? And then with the applications, will you, then you'll, but you will also need the support of the potential use of that bridge and get the support from those other organizations. Is that kind of how it works?
Correct. Yeah. So there'd be a few things to do. There'd be actually a fair bit of work. We would start needing to work on some sort of license agreement with the Rails and Trails Association, maintenance agreement, etc., to establish our relationship. However, at the same time, we would start working on an application to offer Highway Vehicles Fund to firm that up, to use that as the first piece of funding, as well with the ACOA funding, which are really the first two big key pieces to establish the funding solutions.
Another step too in that whole process is to lift the ban on wheeled vehicles from the Bog Road West. That right. Have been done.
That's got a ban.
That has been, yes.
It's legislated, I think, but they tell me they can change it quite easily. Okay. Sorry, have you finished?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Do you have more? No. That's okay.
That's
English. The, you know, we went through this several years ago when the trail, the bridge hadn't been identified as being in such bad shape, although really any of us who walk it could have seen some of that crumbling. And at that time, we had a large public opposition to sharing. And I think it's pretty natural that anything you've enjoyed to yourself, it's tough to give up to a shared usage. So that certainly explains why that was an issue. The other issue, I think always it's important with change is fear. And Darlene outlined that. I think people, you know, some elderly people thought that, you know, there would be vehicles bearing down on them and such. And I know from the time I spend out in the country in the summer, boy, when I meet ATVs, they couldn't be any more courteous. You know, so I think those problems can be worked out. What was always my bigger concern, because the people who use the bridge, some people were able to use it for the benefit of things like going to get groceries and such, which was a big thing. A lot of the opposition, though, came from recreational walkers who, like myself, might just enjoy doing the loop because it was a convenient and pretty walk. So, you know, that where I'm going with this is that my greater concern than whether or not somebody was happy about sharing was always the people between the Trestle Trail on this side and the municipal building. And in making sure, and I don't think that was always anybody else's huge concern because we were so caught up on the bridge. So I'd really like to know that staff will be cognizant of that. There will be seven streets crossed by the streets and roads by the time you get off and get to here. And I used to walk that stretch with my dogs a lot, and it's funny that you can't stop and figure out how many homes and how close they are. There are stretches where you really get away from homes. There are stretches where you get really close. So. And the report does talk about buffering and vegetation and walling and such like that. But I do hope that we pay special attention to those people as stakeholders and try and get this done so that if it happens, everybody's excited when it happens rather than unhospitable. And of course, the road crossings obviously need to be looked at, but I'm sure done in other places, so it can be done. So to go back to the, I think that if we can work out with the homeowners to make sure that they're happy or as close to happy as they can get, then the walkers and the cyclists have to realize that this is really probably the only way they're ever going to walk across that bridge again. Unless the CAO has found a magic bullet. I really think that's the only way we're going to get to use it. And you know, they, I think we'll be happier walking across, waving to our neighbors on their ATVs than we would be never getting to cross it again. Because right now, if we can have that as shared use with the offshoot over to Pine Grove, we have a walker's paradise. And the other part of the trestle trail, you know, again, which some, a few people use it to walk to the call center to work, but I used to walk it with my dogs and we never met anybody. That's why we used to choose it. I think more people will take an interest in that, and we might even beautify that a little bit, you know, as friends and neighbors, because it's a lovely, lovely walk. You can walk, and I, you know, we talk about active transportation and we talk about physical activity strategies and such. You would walk for 4 hours on our trail system now and never, you know, never be away from trees. It's nice. Anyway, that's the end of my ramble.
Anybody else want to ramble? Yes, Councilor Fifth, then Councilor Woodman.
Now, with this approval of principle, with the sharing with the association or whatever, rail trails, whatever.
I can't hear you, sorry.
Sharing the cost, it comes to the point where, okay, we're going ahead with the bridge. Will it hold the bridge, the accessibility to the bridge, if the rest of the things are not approved on both sides? Like the, where for the four-wheelers to through to the...
I think I understand your question. If the question is can we just shared use the Trestle Trail Bridge and not either side, the answer is no there.
We've approved it in principle with working with
sure,
the different organizations, and then the ATV Association, for an example, the Rails for Trails.
Yep.
Before they get their approvals for different,
yep,
to go through different parts of the town, will that hold up the walkers?
Will that hold up?
The you understand? Walkers?
The ATV Association, no, the Rails to Trails Association.
Yes.
Has assured me that they will work towards the lifting of the motor of the wheeled vehicle van west of the Bog Road. They will work on getting that lifted, but obviously it's a key to the success of this.
Okay, so thank you, Mary, for answering my question. That's all I have.
Councilor Woodman.
I have a couple questions. Go through with this motion, will that not send a message to the residents on the west side that had concerns about traveling the old track, and that and that they don't feel like they're being bulldozed without public consultation and their point of view if they oppose it? And another thing is, and it's not only the abutments, the steel part too is has to be considered,
yes,
in that, because that's rusty in places where it joins and where the water lays on it. And I think with the ATV joining in, it's probably our best option to go, but I don't think, you know, we shouldn't be really committed with this motion yet until we actually find out the funding. But I think we should get some of those ducks lined up in a row too, before we really go after the money.
My understanding is my understanding is that the Rails to Trails Association has talked to a number of the other organizations. They have also talked to a number of householders about this proposal, because certainly when I was campaigning in whatever the year was, 2012, on one side of the road, right next to the Trestle Trail, on the west side of the Trestle Trail Bridge, I got an individual saying, for goodness sake, don't let those ATVs ever come across here. And across the road, exactly opposite him, was somebody who was saying, I hope you're going to open up that bridge for ATV. So I think that even on the houses west of the Main Street, there was then a division of opinion, but there has been some consultation by the Rails to Trails Association. But your suggestion is that as this thing starts to coalesce, if we can get
something, the ones that suppose
then is the time to start to talk to people when you've got something firm that you're working with. Sorry, somebody else wanted to get in.
I think Jack, you haven't. Jack hasn't spoken.
Yes.
Okay. There's multiple things here that I have a question with. When we look at this, we looked at this here a few years ago, right? We maybe not quite the same partners because they were looking at Rails and Trails where it was different then. But the only thing that's changed is now the cost of this repair. And when we looked at it then, there was a lot of, I know that when the Rails and Trails were involved, they didn't do the homework with looking to the homeowners. That was part of the problem. They were supposed to do multiple things, and this is one thing they didn't do. And they came back and said, yes, we talked to the people, but they didn't talk to the people. Back then, I was for it then, and I'm for it now, happening. But there was a lot of uproar. And when I look at this, the first question I asked is, we need to talk about the feasibility, the master plan that we're going to be doing. That's going to be a cost to do that at the start. So what are we going to look at? $10,000, $15,000 to do a study? I don't know. Just to say where we're headed into. Because there's, to me, this is only the beginning, because there's so many other things like how are they going to get into the trail? People might say, okay, well, yes, it's great, let's fix this bridge. And also they might say, where they're coming in, also they start when they come in by Irving, say, well, we don't want the whole road used. So this, so-called derail this before we get to that, or we find that when you're putting in for your COA money, you're putting it in based on a figure, this thought. Also it comes up to $1 million and it doesn't, and also we aren't looking at that. So we're gonna have, that means we're gonna come back here again and be able to talk about what we're going to do, or are we just saying we're giving you permission to go forward? See, that I don't give a blank check up there either to say how far are we going to go with this. Is this just to do a study and then come back, or are we saying that this is go forward? This is what we estimate it's going to be. I want to know where we're headed with this. Peter has mentioned here. Back then, it was the public. We were worried about the public, and I still think there should be somewhere along the way a public discussion. And if this means that we're going to do this here, do the feasibility study, and then we go to that way, I don't care. But I think there should be more involved, because that's still tying us up with $150,000 to $200,000 that's taken out of here that could be used elsewhere and things. So we could make sure everybody's on board with it.
I think in the CAO's presentation, the second last slide talked about public engagement.
Okay.
That once you've got the funding, then you start to talk to people. Once you've got the funding in principle,
right,
and you know that it's possible to go ahead,
okay,
then I think you've got something to go to the public with.
Okay. So we're just trying to see if we can get the funding in principle. Yeah. That's what we're.
That's
we're
the first step. It's a very major step. Somebody else who hasn't spoken, Brian, you haven't spoken yet.
So the funding that we're going for is for half the value of the engineering study. Is that correct? Or is it a, I'm sorry for my.
So for the sake of this report, what I've done is I've put forward a number of $750,000. We don't know whether that, all the number that we know fairly well is around $150,000 plus a bit to do the structural engineering analysis. But after that, there would still be some design work. If we move forward, and assemble the funding, obviously the first work that's done is the engineering analysis and the design work, which will give us a much better estimate on the cost. I'm sure that it's not 750, it's either more or it's less, and maybe by a lot. And there would be definitely an off-ramp for all parties. I mean, for the sake of proposing the project, that's the number that I've used. But we won't know the real numbers until we do proper engineering and design work.
But our first step at that, finding that, is the engineer report. So you're looking for funding for that.
Yeah.
But I would not like a whole big amount, because you're not aware of the big amount. So.
Yeah.
So what we're agreeing to at this point is to cover some of the cost of the engineering report, and then
at this point we're looking for approval in principle for a shared use trail,
right,
and allow us to go out and start funding, filing applications. Obviously it would be my preference if we could get this funded without municipal contribution at the start. So for example, the off-highway fund and a COA pay for that study. I don't know whether we'll get to that or not, but I'm not asking council for money today. There's clearly going to be a financial implication at some point.
Councilwoman, but won't you have to have your engineering reports, done before you put in for your applications?
Well, that's what we've been discussing. That
and that'll probably cost you.
Yeah, and so that's included in the 750 figure. And so kind of two choices to take approach on that is to try to assemble funding from partners to do some studies and look for a couple $100,000 to do that, or I'm taking an approach of trying to bundle everything together in one project. I know that the total number is subject to the first phase of work, but I would also rather get the entire project and approach approved, so that we don't do a study and then are sitting there without anybody that wants to contribute money to the actual fix or whatever it is. So the approach that I want to take is to ask for as much as possible.
I had a question. It wasn't a financial question, but it's a question about we're approving in principle the existing shared use trail feasibility study master plan, and that was designed in 2012. Are there any components or anything in that plan that circumstances may have changed between then and now that should be looked at? I mean, is there certain things in there that have changed?
Well, so that, and again, that plan has multiple options on either side. So it's more the broad line going from Lunenburg to Queens is really the overarching thing, and it shows that there's options and there's going to be intricacies as you know, the rails to trails work to develop the trail network on both sides of the Trestle Trail Bridge. I haven't gone into that level of depth at this point into what the options are, what the changes, but yeah.
Exactly, sure, like a template, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an actual change, but it's a different pressure perhaps, in that since 2013, which is when we, I think that's the data when we turned down the multi-use concept. The Rails to Trails and ATV Association have moved ahead, and they put in a trail that goes up around Nicholson's Pond, is intended to cross, if it doesn't already cross, Route 8 at about the 4 mile, come down to cross the Mersey up above the Guzzle, and then go up around Bonmature Lake. But the change, and I'm sure Mr. Dagley will be more accurate in how it's going than me, but the change is that the alternative route shows that you cannot travel from the last gas station in Lunenburg County to the first one in Chauvin County, which is you just can't do that. and get around it that way. So it underscores from the multi-use perspective the importance of this work. Councilor English, yes.
I just wanted to touch on what Councilor Jack's fancy said. In 2000-something, the region council gave the ATV association a big list of stuff, and in retrospect, it was probably unreasonable, but as Councilor Fancy addressed, it had failed to do some of the things that were important, and he nailed the one, which was to contact and get consensus with homeowners. And with that said, in this case, we're agreeing in principle to go forward and start addressing that stuff. And I feel that I'm not just placing that onus on the ATV Association. I feel like I'm passing it to the CAO that we have confidence in. So I'm not nervous in agreeing to this motion today. If there are major roadblocks, then he's going to identify it and bring them back to us.
That's a fancy.
Okay. My biggest problem is just signing a blank check. That's, you don't know where it's all going to go to. But what I take it from this, we're going to go back to the original looking at the engineering and saying there was a two stage, right? That was looking at the piers and the abutment, and then it was going to be looking at the metal work underneath, which is probably going to be around approximately $200,000. So we're saying if we go forward with this, that's our first intention of going forward with that to look at that $200,000, but applying for the whole from ACOA, so that with that $200,000, hopefully ACOA would be in on that, and hopefully the ATV Association would be in on that, looking at that is, so if it flops of that $200,000, that maybe we pay a third of it.
Right.
Well, so is that fair to say?
Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is this, that when we turn down the next step of the engineering study, which was $140,000, but they hadn't included the HST, so the 160 some thousand.
Right.
When we turned that down, we did so because we didn't have any assurances or any feel for any light at the end of that tunnel. We were going into the darkness, and we didn't see how we could get to the other end or possibly raise the money. As I see this, when staff has done its work negotiating or looking at applications and so on, you wouldn't be spending the engineering study until you've got some assurance that the other government agencies are interested in coming in as you take it forward.
Right.
So you don't have that. You wouldn't be spending money with that fear of the unknown. You would have some certainty as you'd be moving ahead. Am I right on that?
That's exactly right, and that's why I'm creating the original ask, with everybody knowing that there's a lot of potential variability with the $750,000, so that if we did get through the engineering study and things were reasonable, we can continue along. But if things go sideways, then everybody would have to reconsider things. But that was what my recommendation was, is to ask for the bigger amount of money than just a little bit, so that we had some sort of idea of what was potentially next.
But that's, again, maybe I'm just kind of stupid with this, so I'm just kind of asking a lot. Well, we approved this today, you could go forward to first ask for McCullough and see yep. where any other money is going to be there, and then you could go forward with the study. Because we're not coming back here until that
no,
study.
No, we're coming back.
We're coming back?
Yeah. Well, if I spend money, or I'm assuming that there's no way that, although I'll try my best
sure.
to try to spend other people's money,
yeah.
I assume that at some point we're going to need to pay some portion. I will try to spend their money first
okay.
if we did get it. But that will come back to council as things start coming together.
Okay.
Councilor Fisk.
If this project doesn't go ahead, or if we didn't consider it, what's the mandate on tearing the bridge down, and how much money will involve there?
Again, that's a good question. And we had an estimate, I believe it was in the order of $10,000 or $20,000 to do an engineering estimate on that. I don't recall specifically, but to give us the estimate on the construction. That seems to be, and actually I had a conversation with R.J. McKaiser, who's torn down a similar bridge, and just asked them, you know, because they've done it, I said, oh, you're here, where would you say that would be? And that's going to be, you know, out of their ear, you know, a fairly substantial potentially project, you know.
Can you give me
several hundred thousand dollars, you know, we're talking a big project.
Would it be incompatible with the figures you're giving us today?
It could be. Like, I'm not clear that it would be less to...
That would be our dollar.
That would be 100% our dollars. I don't imagine anybody's going to want to contribute towards bringing it down.
I've been interested over the last little while. The number of people who've come to me and asked me when I've been sort of wandering around, when are we going to get, is there any hope of getting the bridge open again? My response is always the same. You show me where the $1 million is and yes, we'll get it open. But people from all walks of life have asked that question. People who exercise, people who use it as a thoroughfare. I think there has been a significant change in public opinion from when we were discussing it previously. Somebody mentioned enforcement. I'm rather lukewarm about that, given the fact that we have had problems with ATVs coming out of Amherst Street, that area, going up through Birch Avenue, across the 103, all okay, except they come back at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we have had several complaints about that, and they don't seem to be able to control that. But obviously that's something that needs to be looked at, and that's aside. But I think the big thing is a big change in public opinion, and we have some controls on this. The rails to trails are very, very optimistic on this. I think that the problem we're light in the funding from the province. I can't believe on a $750,000 project we will allow the project to get the province to get away with $75,000.
With them being previous owner.
That's what?
With them being previous owner of the bridge. CN turned it over to the province.
No, CN sold it to the town of Liverpool in 1992 for $70,000.
But if the town wouldn't have bought it, the province would have took care of it.
Eventually. But okay, but whatever. But
yeah.
The province wasn't involved in this one. Yes, Councilor McClellan.
Just to clarify in my mind about the dollar value of this. So total project value you've estimated at $750,000, and that includes a remedy to the bridge, or is this a lead into the remedy of the bridge? Because at one point, way back, we were talking $200,000 to have an engineering study, and then we were talking $1 million to possible to repair it. So it just seems like a gift from heaven if it's only $750,000 estimated.
And I've got to be very careful with my number. All we know is that it's going to be about a couple hundred thousand to do the engineering, and I've based the value of the fix off of looking at what it costs them to do the French River Bridge. This could potentially, like you say, after we do the engineering, there is a risk that this could be completely sideways and this be a much larger project than we anticipate. And if that's the case, we would have to cross that road and make that decision. That would be a funding problem.
And I would strongly suggest that the engineering study go up for an RFP, that it go out to different engineering firms rather than choosing one.
Sure.
Any more discussion? It's a big, big issue, so I don't want to shut off anybody, any thoughts you may have or any concerns about that. Are you ready now for the question? All in favor? It's unanimous. That takes us to item 3.2, and what are people being given? Okay, there's a motion circulated. So that's economic development. So that is Deputy Mayor Norman.
There is no motion. It will be in a minute.
Sorry, I thought it had been seconded.
Could we have discussion anyway?
So while the motions are being delivered, I will read what I have. I so move that the Council of the Region Queens Municipality request staff to work with Best Western Plus Liverpool Hotel and Conference Center on a temporary arrangement in response to their letter of May 27, 2016, requesting permission to incorporate landscaping in a strip of land 8 feet wide and 375 feet in length on the adjacent developable land and overflow parking lot for Queens Place Amira Center, PID number 7026023.
Is there a second of that motion? Councillor Frelick. Now, just a correction, because I see the date in here, May 20th.
It's
27.
It's
27.
It's been changed.
We changed it here.
It just came in on Friday.
And you came in on Friday, but Dr. Melissa. Okay. How come I'm not being given the same motions as everybody else?
I don't know. I just did a.
Don't worry about it. I can't grumble anymore.
It's my fault.
That's fine, don't worry about it. So you've got the motion before you. Do you want to explain it to us?
Sure. So this is just a small, narrow strip along the, essentially, opposite the front entrance to the Best Western. So it's that land to the right, as you look at it from Queen's Place, that we have for sale as commercial development land, and they have, I guess, had some, you know, criticism because they're sort of a bit isolated and there's just land either side of them that they want to beautify that strip there just to make it look a bit more landscaped. So they would like to us to give permission for them to use that land. As it came in on Friday, staff hasn't had the chance to sort of scope it out and actually sort of work through with them exactly what they're planning, what type of landscaping they're looking at, and, you know, whether we'd come up with an easement for them or how it would actually work. There's also a request there for the supply of topsoil and assistance with the landscaping, which, you know, all has to be considered and not things that we have in our budget, of course.
Different on.
So I have a question for Jill. So this letter came in on Friday, and the motion reads that we're going to work on a temporary arrangement in response to their letter. So that by approval of this motion, it doesn't mean that we're going to provide topsoil and things without coming back here.
We wouldn't recommend providing topsoil to a private company. So
okay, so that was my first good thing. So then, so basically, this motion, so we are giving staff permission to develop agreements on easements and
exactly.
Or easements or shared, because if that land sells, and maybe people want to put drives or something in, so it's just to the development of a plan, and then when we know what the plan is, and then
yes.
Have the opportunity to approve or disapprove of the plan, or are we giving the staff the go ahead to do whatever arrangement they feel fit?
Excuse me, no easement will be granted, can be granted, without it coming to council, because I have to sign it. So there will be no, so if there's an easement, which wasn't what they were asking for at all. They were just asking to be able to put in a sort of a grassy strip along there.
But if there's any involvement with region equipment or region funds, that would come back to council.
Yes.
But okay. If it's no cost to council, then we're simply giving the approval for them to be able to plant a barrier on our land.
Right.
Okay, fine.
Councilor Waterman.
So as you're going towards the hotel, It's on the right-hand side where, like, they park the tractor trailer sometimes.
Yeah.
On that edge there, going up the whole way up the driveway, like.
Yeah.
We don't own the left-hand side.
No, well, they're on the left-hand side.
No, but the other left-hand side, or the Best Western, we don't own that. It was the previous council sold it off.
Yeah. Yes, Councilor.
I think it's great that they want to make the area a little bit prettier. It'll benefit them, and certainly it's not going to hurt us, and we're not going to spend any money. I do think that land over there, some of which we have for sale, some of which is owned by an external company, should all be kept in reasonable condition. I think perhaps it's time to ask Irving to get a little mowing done on theirs.
Yes.
Well, that's separately distinct from the note.
Yes, I just thought I'd just stick it in.
Anybody else want to talk about this motion? Yes, Councilor McLeod.
So what I read into this is just basically they want to do some aesthetic improvements to that little piece of land at their own cost or own expense, and they just want to be able to use it to beautify the area. No cost to us.
Right.
And no ownership. Nothing will be in the future. It's on a temporary basis.
Yeah.
And if there's ever any sale of that land, then I don't know whether there's a formal agreement or a letter of understanding, whatever you have to draft with them. But then if that land ever got sold, that might be an attraction to sell it too. It's improved a little bit, right? Yeah. I'm fine with this.
Any further discussion? All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Now I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Councilor McLeod moving. Councilor Fisk seconding. All in favor of being in camera? Okay, so we will have a 10-minute adjournment.
Okay.